It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the TAN Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, on the show where you can find help and hope. And we have our wonderful guy on the boards today, Vaughn. How you doing, Vaughn?
Hey, how you guys doing on this fun Saturday?
On this chilly Saturday.
Good to me.
It's good to you. Thanks for helping us. And as always, we have my best friend, my co-host and my sidekick, not my sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's happening?
Well, there's something I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
I live in a community, as you know, with 1,000 homes. And one, they put it on, we have a...
bulletin?
Yeah, bulletin thing. And they put on it that one lady was out walking, and she got a phone call on her iPhone, and it said, "We're having trouble in the area with iPhones, press 1 for help." And it compromised all of her. They got her checking, her everything.
Oh, my goodness.
So be very careful. Apple will not call you. You can call them.
Yeah, yes,
but
please.
If you get that, just hang up.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it really is sad.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, but we had a pretty good week. We've been doing a few things, and we got some more stuff coming up. I spoke up in Spring Hill at the Dementia Conference, which was very well attended, was really good. I was really happy about that. And I spoke at the Senior Empowerment Day, where we talked a lot about scams, and we talked about car safety and a lot of things there. And I met... remember every week when you were announcing, you said, "Author Bobby Lewis is going to be there." Well, I didn't know who Bobby Lewis was, and I met Bobby Lewis.
And you like Bobby Lewis.
I love Bobby Lewis. And he's a reporter, but he just reports on good news. That's me. So we talked about Good Morning Seminole and a few things, so I might be on his show in the future, but it was kind of cool. It was all good.
That was very good. We were going to have that show, Good News, but then we couldn't get sponsors. They only like bad news.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. So I want to say hello to our latest listeners. We have Lori in Clearwater and Amanda in Long Island and Mary Ellen in Seminole. You know, I always say there is always room for more listeners on Connecting Caregivers Radio. It doesn't cost you any money. You
don't get a front seat.
Yeah, and you don't even have to come on time, because you can go to the podcast if you want, because for caregivers, it's not always the most convenient time. Or
where do you see it in podcast?
You can go, she's such a good question asker. On YouTube. On YouTube.
Facebook.
And Facebook. And it's also podcast on ConnectingCaregiversRadio.com.
And TAN Talk Radio.
And TAN Talk. So we're getting out there.
We're
next time. Told me we got to get on iTunes next, so we will see. And we have two special friends on the show here today. We have Tammy Taylor.
Hello.
With Hope for Health.
Yes.
And we're going to chat with you in a little bit. I'm so glad you're here today.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we also have Bobby Hinton.
Well, hello, how are you?
And Bobby's a chaplain with Palm Garden, and we're going to talk to you a little bit.
Well, too. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I love his voice. Don't you love that voice?
I know, it's a radio voice. Yeah. I have a radio
definitely.
Face.
Yeah, it's a good voice. It's a really good voice. One other thing I want to say today is we had the contest last week for the Kindle Fire. That was donated by Rick and Corvia.
Mm-hmm.
What a great guy he is.
We had dinner with him.
Yes, we did. That was fun, too. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Jermak is the girl that won. And unfortunately, she was going to come to the station today, but she's sick.
I would have liked to have met her because she comments
a
lot.
She's going to come next week, so that'll be really good. But thanks to Rick and Corvia for donating that Kindle Fire. Kathy was very, very excited when I called her. She is a caregiver for her uncle who has Parkinson's and her boyfriend who has traumatic brain injury.
Wow.
So she's got a full plate, and now she has a little Kindle Fire, you know.
And she can get Rick's book.
Yeah, and we could play a little meditation music on there and whatever else we want to do.
Very nice.
So Tammy, I'm so glad that you're here with us today, and... I know your story. I've heard your story, but I want my listeners to know. So how did you start Hope for Health? How the whole thing? What was it all about? Tell us your story.
Well, my story started early on. my health journey. I was 28 when I was diagnosed with cervical cancer and had to go through a hysterectomy. And I was a single mom, and that was quite difficult. I actually feared for my life and concerned and thought a lot about if something happened to me, what's going to happen to my daughter. And I recovered. I had, like I said, a hysterectomy, and I recovered. And after that, I really started focusing on my health and discovered I had a systemic yeast situation and tried to deal with that with my diet and, you know, cut out soda, drank more water, and that worked for a while. Fast forward about 10 years, and it just had gotten really taken over my body. And so I started researching what could be causing this yeast to continue to get out of control despite me trying so hard to get it under control. And I found out that the mercury in my mouth was poisoning.
And can you believe that? From her fillings.
From your fillings.
From her fillings.
Good thing I had them all yanked.
Well, I had them all yanked.
Yeah.
Well, not yanked. My teeth didn't come out, thank goodness. But I had the fillings replaced. However, I went to a dentist that did not take precautions. So I went once a week for 7 weeks, and at the end of that time, I had crashed and burned because there was, each time you're getting a filling replaced, you're getting the vapors if you're not taking precautions, if the dentist isn't taking precautions. And I happen to be a very sensitive person. I have a methylation defect, which I found out later. So now I am poisoned with mercury, and what happens when you have a over amount of mercury, mm-hmm. it embeds itself in your intestines, and your body creates yeast to try to bind this up and protect the system. But the yeast overgrowth creates microscopic holes in your intestines, which now you have leaky gut.
Oh.
And so now I'm poisoned with mercury, and I'm overgrown with yeast. And I thought
you look good.
Thank you.
She's a fighter, though. You know, some people don't know what to do, and they don't do anything. They have to suffer so much. That's why I'm so impressed with you all the time, because you're like, I'm going to find out how I'm going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I was just pressing in, and you know, so I thought I was going to get better. I didn't, and then I had to figure out, well, what's next. And I also discovered that I was living in a home full of mold. And so compounded the situation there. So I moved out of that home, and I started seeing a holistic doctor, and went through a number of things, hydrogen peroxide drips, and I had to heal my gut, I had to flush my liver, and took some time, replaced my nutrients, because when you have mercury poisoning, it causes you to lose a lot of your nutrients. And then, of course, with the leaky gut, you're not absorbing your nutrients that you are taking in. And once I got through that, I was actually diagnosed with Graves' disease.
I've heard of that. I don't know what it is.
It is a hyperthyroid. So I had autoimmune situation, most likely from lack of nutrients, the mercury poisoning, the yeast. So my system was just totally shot. Mm-hmm. The doctors in the hospital wanted me to have my thyroid taken out or radioactive iodine. And I had already lost body parts at 28. I'm 40-something, and I said, that's not an option.
Yeah.
So, again, I went to that holistic doctor, and about 5 years later, I'm better. And
wow.
Yes.
She's great.
And I made the decision that I was going to get certified as a health coach because I have learned so much. I have a background, the beginning of my career, a working career, I was a mental health technician and worked in home health care. So I've always been about helping others, and I wanted what I went through to mean something, to be able to be helpful to others.
Yeah. So well, just like a couple weeks ago, you spoke at my Kiwanis group, and you said that some of the people were interested in taking better care of themselves.
Absolutely.
And like I said, you know, earlier when you were talking about everything that you went through, some people just give up because they don't know what's wrong anymore and they can't find an answer.
You've had enough.
And they just suffer. Yeah. But, you know, you can give hope to people that there are things to do and different ways to handle it. So I think you were going to give us some tips We'll go back and talk about the rest of your journey, but I want my caregivers to think, to hear some of the tips that you want to give them in, for improving their health, because I think that's very, very important.
Absolutely. Well, I myself am a caregiver, so right. I know all about making sure that you take care of yourself. And so we need to drink half our body weight in water every day. We're 60 to 70% water, and we need to make sure we're well hydrated.
How much is that? Say you weighed 150 pounds.
So you weigh 150 pounds, so half of that, 75.
Ounces.
75 ounces.
Oh, ounces. I'm thinking pounds.
Okay, so I forgot the ounces
Bobby,
part.
We're
You're
not
thinking,
with it.
I'm going to drown.
Yeah, I'm thinking half of
it. That's what I was thinking. I was like, well,
half your body weight in ounces in
ounces.
Water a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what I do? Somebody told me a long time ago, and it works, is I drink at least a half a bottle of water, if not a whole bottle of water, before my feet hit the ground in the morning.
Mm. Yep.
Because I say that's really good to start your day with that super hydration right before your feet hit the ground. And I think it does make a difference.
It does. It gives us better energy. It's helping our body. It's helping the liver. We need to keep our liver flushed.
Yeah, so and you just have to get in the habit of it, because we forget. But once you get in the habit and you start doing it, you start drinking
water. I like water.
I do, too.
I did a little soda, too. But
I got to tell you, I remember years ago when they first came out with bottled water, I was like, I will never pay for a bottle of water.
Can you imagine paying for water?
But anyway.
Yes, right, it's important.
Continue.
And so next, move it. We need to move our bodies every day.
Yep.
And at least 30 minutes a day. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go to the gym. If you want to go to the gym, that's great. Walking.
Right.
Running, mm-hmm. dancing in the middle of your living room.
And even if you're at home, this is what I tell my seniors, you have to move to lube.
Yeah.
And I tell them if you rest, you rust.
Oh. Yes.
But I play a joke with myself sometimes, so maybe I want to watch some TV, and it's not really good to just be sitting in a chair watching a lot of TV. So I'll have like hand weights, and this is the deal I tell myself, that the weights make the TV stay on. So if I stop, I gotta shut the TV off. But
that's
it works.
Good.
It's just some exercise in a chair. Or you could be just sitting in a chair and you could just like lift your leg like this and hold it up.
Yes.
So
yes, because caregivers can't leave home much.
Right.
They have to be at home. So,
or eat.
So we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So that's important. We also need to avoid chemicals. Chemicals are constantly bombarding
us.
Well,
they're in everything you don't even realize. I'm a big proponent of Melaleuca.
Yes.
And a lot of this, I'll only use their detergent. I'll only use... One day a woman came into a networking group, mm-hmm. and she had like 8 pieces of tin foil, and she had a jar of Cascade dishwasher liquid and a jar of the Melaleuca. And when she poured the Cascade on those 8 pieces of foil, it burned right through.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm thinking that stuff's on my dishes.
Yep. And we're getting it on our hands.
Yep. And then I started looking at my dishes, and some of the finish was off my dishes.
Yep.
So never, ever again.
Yes.
They switched that day. I'm not putting any more poison in me.
Yep. Household products.
And you don't think about that. You think it's soap.
Yep. Yeah. There's.
So read your labels.
Yes. Sodium lauryl sulfate. That's something we want to avoid, and that's in a lot of hand soaps.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that we're using hand soap without it.
Without, yeah. What was
without,
it?
What is that?
Sodium lauryl sulfate.
Sodium lauryl sulfate.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You want to?
You and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
Remember, this is podcast. You can go back anytime.
Right. Yeah, and organic food. You know, and it doesn't have to be expensive. Aldi sells a great big thing of lettuce for you know, a few bucks.
Yeah,
do you eat all organic?
As much as possible.
Yeah.
I've had to keep my body free of everything so that it continue to heal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we want to get grounded, okay? God made our bodies to touch the earth, and we need to get connected to the earth because we're an electrical system, and when we are disconnected, we're walking around with shoes all day, our bodies are malfunctioning. When we ground, our blood flow is better. It reduces inflammation. Inflammation is a big cause of disease. And over the years that we've created shoes, we've had lots of inflammation. So
what do you say? Walk around the house barefoot? Walk outside barefoot or what?
Okay, we want to spend at least 2 hours grounded a day. So if you can't do that outside with your feet on the ground, they do sell, there's earthing.com, sells a little electrode that you plug into the ground part of your outlet and you connect it to your arm while you're sitting there watching TV.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I'm always barefoot, except when I go out now, because then my feet are always dirty.
Yeah.
No, they are.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I've been always barefoot in the house.
Yeah.
And people come to my house and think they have to take their shoes off. I said, no, it's
well,
just
if
I
you
don't
have,
like shoes.
If you have concrete or tile, that is going to be a conductor. Yeah.
Oh.
So
walk in the kitchen.
I'll have to spend more time in the kitchen and the bathroom.
In the carport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then a good quality sleep. We need 7 or 8 hours a night.
And you know how hard that is for people, though.
It is.
So I think sometimes you have to think why your sleep is disrupted or what it is. So like with me, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep. Mostly it's because I'm thinking about something. So I have this CD and it's all ocean music, but it has all subliminal messages. You are loved. You are a child of God. Everything works out for me. Mm-hmm. And when I put that CD on, I'm asleep before it stops.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Because I was taking Tylenol PM. I was taking this. I said, you know, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I use a little lavender oil.
Yeah, lavender is good for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this essential oil stuff is really, really important.
Yeah.
What are some other suggestions of people with sleep? Like, you're not supposed to eat before you go to, you know.
Actually, drinking water before you go to sleep. Most people think you shouldn't because you'll get up to go to the bathroom, but drinking water before you go to sleep is a good thing.
Oh, I do and, one good and, thing.
And picking the same time every night to go to bed and get up.
Yeah.
The best you can, because you're creating a cycle for your body. And then your body's getting used to it. And you want to avoid your cell phone or your computer or anything like that for at least an hour before you're ready to go to bed.
Yeah, those screens are just like, blah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I go to Curves 3 mornings a week. So I wear my exercise clothes to bed, and in the morning if I'm not up, I'm usually up, but if not at 5:30 my thing rings, and so I drink my water, I get up, I go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth and whatever, but I don't turn any lights on, I don't turn any computer on, I don't turn anything on, because if I do, I'll never get to Curves.
Right.
It'll be a distraction. It'll be a, I'll go later. Mm. It'll be a, you know, and I know me, mm-hmm. and that works for me, and then I'm home at 6:40. Worked out clean, good.
I'm still asleep.
Yeah.
It works for me. You have to find what works for you.
I'm a midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, see, I like everything early in the day. Don't ask me any questions after 3 p.m.
I know that.
Yes, you do know that.
Well, and it's good to know ourselves.
Yeah.
It's good to pay attention and know ourselves. This is an important thing.
And I think a big part of your health is knowing yourself, knowing when to say no.
Absolutely.
Knowing when to
That's
say this
hard.
Too much. It is hard, but you got to take care of yourself or you can't take care of everybody else. You know that.
That's right.
You know, and caregivers so neglect themselves.
They do.
So, you know, there's a study that was out that says 63% of the caregivers over the age of 65 are dying before the person they're taking care of.
Mm.
Wow.
Because they don't go to the doctor. They take you to the doctor. Mm-hmm. They don't eat right. They make sure you eat right. You know, all that kind of thing. They don't sleep well. They've got one ear all night that you're going to fall to bed or you're going to need them or something. And then they say, once you've taken care of a person for a couple of years and they pass away, it takes up to 2 years for the caregiver to get their immune system back to where it belongs.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that because now they're compounding it with grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a tough thing. So you know, there are people that are listening to the show that are caregivers, and then there are people that listen to the show that aren't caregivers, but
will
in the
be,
end,
probably.
You're all going to be a caregiver. You know, Rosalind Carter said years ago, you either are a caregiver, you have been a caregiver, you will be a caregiver, or somebody's going to be taking care of you. Mm-hmm. So people that are listening out there that are not caregiving right at this moment, you do know a caregiver. Please do something nice for them. Just go over the house and say, you know what? I would love to spend some time with your loved one today at 4 o'clock for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Not sometime, because sometime never happens. You know, be a little specific about that. And I find that when that happens, many times when they get back home, the person they're caring for is like, you're much nicer to me. Because you took a break.
Right.
Because as much as we think I'm the bomb caregiver, and this is my responsibility, and blah, 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 sometimes the person you're caring for is like, would you go away, please? You know, so we have to think about that. And Bobby, you probably come through across a lot of that too, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do. One of the things I try to do is I oftentimes think of fatigue and how to help the caregiver take care of himself, because I'm really big on self-care. because I see it not only from my own profession, because even as a chaplain, I have to have my own therapist that I talk to.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, people, every time I say that, they say, what do you mean? I hear all of you all stuff.
Right.
I can't handle all of that. So I need someone that I can talk to that would be objective and help me to really to sort out. Because some of the situations are really hard, especially when I'm working within the Palm Garden system, or if I'm working for the Venice Healthcare System, when I'm dealing with families. Because overall, I am still dealing with people. I'm dealing with hurting people. And I'm meeting and I'm staying with people during some of the most difficult times of their lives.
Yeah.
And I cannot be falling apart. I gotta be.
Well, I even know with myself, because I'm a caregiver advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of support groups.
Right.
And when my phone rings, it's not good news. It's someone's failing, someone's in an emergency, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it can be weary. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I go over to Lynn's house and I'm like, I'm done today. You know, you just need to, because you can't take care of anybody else.
I think you make an interesting point, though. Caregivers need someone that they can be vulnerable and honest with. And say, you know, today's not a good day.
Yeah, this stinks.
This stinks. And the person will sit back and not judge them and go, oh my goodness, yeah. You can't say that's about your mother or your brother or something. But you know, you're human, and some days are just not
good
days. And sometimes you need to know. I used to tell people when to say when. And they said, what do you mean by that? You need to say when it is not a good day. That you can, I need to step away.
And it's okay to say it.
And it's okay to say it, and you don't get judged. And that not only do we need a safe place where we can do that with people, but we also have to find a safe place within ourselves that we can say it's okay.
Yep.
We got to give ourselves permission.
And those wonderful words, we're going to take a moment and hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the story. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
The first shock came when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But even more terrible was the realization that Mom wasn't going to be able to care for him on her own. I struggled through sleepless nights and was completely overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety as the disease progressed. Mom could no longer cope with Dad's sudden mood swings and the changes in behavior on her own. In different ways, they both needed help. Then I called Assisting Hands, and I'm so thankful for them. So is my mom. Once again, we both have peace of mind.
Alzheimer's and dementia are devastating diseases, not only for the patients, but for their closest family members. At Assisting Hands, we understand these geriatric disorders, and our staff can provide personalized home care support services that will allow for more freedom to the spouse and family during the transition stages of the disease. Please call Assisting Hands today at 813-280-4838 for your personal in-home consultation. At no cost. When you can't do it all,
give Assisting Hands a call. Serving Pinellas and Pasco counties. Call them today at 813-280-4838. That's 813-280-4838. Let them help you out.
Remember how you felt when you were a child? Your body was full of life and vital energy. You were healthy. St. Petersburg chiropractor Dr. Colette Chesko has been helping people to recapture that youthful vitality through chiropractic care for the past 13 years. And she's been helping me personally for the past 3 years. Not every chiropractor provides the same type of services. As a chiropractor specializing in corrective care, which is restoring the proper alignment of the spine, not just treating symptoms, Dr. Colette provides patients with a variety of services in addition to chiropractic adjustments, including acupuncture, nutrition, and massage. By using these natural methods, she helps patients of all ages restore their health without using drugs or surgery. The most cost-effective way to achieve health is to maintain good health. Once you have reached your goals, she will help you stay there and feel better for good. So give her a call. Dr. Colette Chesko at Gentle Touch Chiropractor and Wellness Center in St. Petersburg. That's at 727-235-3265. I know you will feel better.
When I first met you, Linda, I was a mess. My dad's dementia, especially the daily stress and agitation, was causing our whole family stress, even losing caregivers repeatedly. Thankfully, someone had suggested we try hemp-infused coconut oil daily. We couldn't believe it. Almost immediately, we noticed a difference, and so did the caregivers. Today, he smiles more. Our family and caregivers do, too. He sleeps better and is a calmer person. It took a long time for us to find a quality CBD product we felt comfortable giving Dad. That's why I started CR World, a company dedicated to providing quality hemp products rich in CBD for seniors and their families, driven by education.
Colette, you really look like a different person. Happier, healthier, and smiling. I'm so happy about that. So for our listeners to find out how CBD is making a difference safely and naturally, you can go to www.comecrworld.com/caregivers. That's comecrworld.com/caregivers, and you can order yours today.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Yeah, you don't want to deny your friends the opportunity to help you. When you do that, you're stealing their joy. They want to help you. They're offering to help you. And when you keep saying no or I don't know, not only are you isolating yourself and making it hard for yourself, but you're making your friends feel bad too. So don't do that.
Yeah, and it's hard the first time, but after a while, it's not so hard to ask.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And every week when I hear good news, you know, the woman who's now able to go to church on Sunday because she finally let her neighbor said, I'll hang out with your husband. I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. I don't go to church. And she came back from church the first Sunday, and they said, we're playing dominoes. Go away. We don't need you here. And she gets 3 hours every Sunday morning now.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's
so does her husband, gets 3 hours with somebody else.
Yes.
And the neighbor gets to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we keep saying no to everybody, then they stop knocking on your door. And they start coming, and then the caregiver's home. I gotta do this all by myself. Well, you said no to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't do that. So, Bobby, let's talk a little bit more. So, you're a chaplain.
Yes.
And you work with Palm Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us what's different about Palm Garden.
I love
Palm Garden.
Yeah, I love it because I work for them.
And some people work for places they don't love them.
That is true. That is true. One of the reasons I came to work with Palm Garden, because they're one of a few nursing homes throughout the country that have full-time chaplains. And that sets them apart because the owner, she really wanted to have a spiritual component, a Christian component within all of her facilities.
Part of healing.
It's a part of healing. And I did my academic training for chaplaincy at John Hopkins. And John Hopkins is a Catholic school, and that was a part of our curriculum dealing with looking at how spirituality and promotes and helps to maintain healing for so many people.
Yeah.
And working for an organization that really believes that at their core makes it better. And I know just firsthand when I'm in my centers and I'm talking to a resident or when I'm talking to their families and they see, oh, well, you're the chaplain. I say, yeah. And they say, well, are you here? I said, yes. And they said, well, my mom or my dad tells us about you all the time that you come in, you talk to them. We do religious services because I am a Christian and I'm United Methodist. So I do a church service every day at all of my centers.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, they like the communion. They love communion and they love to sing the old hymns. So we're back there singing hymns and trying to get them to praise God. And the thing is about when you're dealing with our residents, they're excited because they were once excited about church, and they still are.
Yeah.
And we tried to build a church that's a community for them. And so I think that's one of the unique things about our community. But not only that, not just the spiritual component, but the opportunity that they have to really talk to someone who's in clergy. And I sit down.
It's so important.
And I hear so many confessions. Because when people are older, or you have residents that are going through things, or people are going through really difficult times in their lives, they become very reflective. And I get to sit down and I get to talk to them. I get to hear their history. I get to hear some of the sorrows and some of the things that they regret. And if I know it feels good to them and it feels good to me that they can sit down and just share those really intimate moments.
There's comfort there.
Yes.
I was brought up Roman Catholic. So my mother got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
She was never, felt that God never forgave her, mm-hmm. and was always in the back of her head, And my mom was in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And the coolest thing was... a friend of ours, who is a priest, a Catholic priest, who was in kindergarten with me, who used to hang at our house, was now down at St. Pete Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And he came to see her in hospice.
Wow.
And she talked to him about that. And whatever he said to her, she was good.
Yes. And that's what you see.
That was huge.
And that's what you see. You see, when you look at your life, just look at your life, and there's things that we've done that we regret. And the people that we may have offended, they may be dead, or we don't have that relationship that we can really share with them. To be able to have someone in the clergy that will just sit there and listen.
Right.
And because regardless of how people see it, like your priest, like I represent God for them. And I don't know what their relationship with God was before they came here.
Right.
But this is a great time to heal that relationship and to see that God isn't an entity that's sitting there just ready to swat someone because they've done something wrong, but that he is opening up his arms of forgiveness for everyone. And I think that's one of the most important things that we bring to the center, and that's what makes us stand out.
Everybody wants to be forgiven.
Who doesn't want to be forgiven?
Right. Yeah. Everybody wants. But what we had talked about this before the show started. So you don't just deal with the patients.
No, I don't. I deal not only with the patient, but with the residents. I mean, not just with the residents and the guests, but with their family and the employees as well.
Because the employees go through a lot in those kind of communities.
One of the things that we realize, and it's a program that we have that's called Celebration of Life, is when it's an opportunity when we know someone is actively dying, that we develop this whole program about their life. We have like their life in picture form and in written form, and we give this book back to the family after the person dies. But one of the things we do is that it's an opportunity for the staff to sit there and to say how important this person has been, because we have a place in there in the book for them. Because when someone dies in our center, the staff grieves with them too. The CNA, the nurses, the doctors, because you know that person may have been there for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and then all of a sudden they're not there
it's
anymore.
Part of their family,
right? And you watch them decline, and
some of them have no other family except staff.
That's right. And you look at them as grandma or grandpa or something like that, and you watch them decline, and then your heart goes through the grieving process just like anybody else's. So it gives us an opportunity for everyone to grieve and to say how much this person means to them. Because one of the things about having a chaplain at a center, every quarter we do memorial services.
Nice.
And it's an opportunity for the staff to come together with the family and with others and friends. Because some people, like you said, they don't have family.
Right.
So we sit back and we talk about what the person meant to them. And then we have their names and we have candles and we light the candles and we just say a few words about
them. It's something about a ceremony too that
yes.
is just soothing and
mm-hmm.
and makes a big difference.
It does.
Makes a big difference.
Knowing that we're able to provide that service it helps us heal, because as caregivers within the facility, we see it every day, and we don't want to treat it as, oh, this is just happened again. But we want to grieve through it and then work through it, and so that we can get the possible best care to the next person that we're working with.
And you know what the thing is, too, and many times caregivers don't even realize this, we'll be in a support group and we'll start talking, and they're already grieving.
Yeah, yeah.
They're already grieving. They're grieving the loss of the life they thought they were going to have, the loss of the health of their love. You know, they're, and sometimes when I can just say that to a caregiver, do you realize you're grieving already? They're like, oh, so that's why I feel this way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. And it's okay, because the biggest two things that happen when people come into support groups, the two things they say is, my life wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yes.
And what
yes.
happened to my family and friends.
Yes, yeah, yes. You know, I hear that when I'm talking with some of our residents. I never thought my life would end up this way. And that is a whole conversation for people. I say, okay, you didn't expect it to be this way, so what are we going to do now? What can we do now? Because you still got a lot of life in you. And I close out my services and say, as long as we're all still breathing, we still can praise God. So what are you going to do? Now that you still have breath, what are you going to do with it? So I look at
that. And what are their answers usually?
Yes. But I always end it with, like, welcome to church. And so they kind of like that. Because, it's, you know, you want to make them smile, because it's very easy to feel like your life has just passed you by when you're dealing with an illness, or you're just getting old and you don't feel like you can do the things that you used to, or that right now, since you're the last of your kind, you're the only one left in your family, that now that you need someone to take care of you. You need someone to help you with very basic things, or just to be around you so you don't hurt yourself. Just think how that hurts your personhood sometimes.
And you know what the thing is, that a lot of people don't realize, because they don't, they have guilt if their person has to go into a community or something. But first of all, I find out many times, especially if it's like a memory community, the person usually is fine to be there. It's the loved one's issue.
Oh yeah.
After
oh,
a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was leading to with that.
It was a good story.
It was a good story. Whatever. But, yeah, it's really important. So how do you keep your outlook up? And
you know,
because it's tough.
No, it is tough. First of all, as I mentioned before, I have my own therapist that I talk with. I'm into writing. I write short stories. So I like to write short stories. But I also, I like going to movies. I enjoy doing stuff with my hands. Like this weekend, I'm going to replant some plants.
It's always good to get your hands in the dirt.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm indoor plants. Indoor plants. Let me end with indoor plants. Yeah. I love playing in dirt. I just think I love getting dirty. I think I'm one of those guys. I just love getting dirty. So I like doing that. But I also get out and I go to the gym. I'm a cyclist, so I like to ride my bike. And I love music. I really love music, and I sing a lot. And so that's the thing. That's the thing that I think you have to find something that really helps to transform me.
Feed your soul.
There you go. So that's what I like to do.
It feeds your soul. It's a big difference. We were just talking about planting, though. Okay, this came to mind, a story that happened years ago, and I just want to repeat it because it's a great story. So this woman was coming to my support groups for a while, and so the person passed away, and she went back to North Carolina, wherever she lived. And a couple of years later, she calls me and says, I'm back. Now she came back to take care of another family member that lived here, and she was taking care of her aunt. And she said, my aunt's an artist, so the entire house is like sculptures and woodwork and paintings and everything. She said, but when my aunt's favorite thing, though, is the garden. And she says that when she goes in the garden and when she gets her hands in that dirt, it's like God winking at her. That's when she's closest to God. Well, so now her aunt is failing, and she's very old, and she can't go in the garden. You know, and she just can't do it. So what this girl did is she contacted all the friends and family members and asked them to send pots and bulbs and soil and write a little note with it. And you know how it is, people don't stop communicating because they're uncomfortable with this sickness?
Right.
Well, this invited them to do something. Well, they all sent them, and every day a few more would come, and she'd plant them in the house, and then some would bloom now, and some would... And she said, and when the very last one bloomed, her aunt passed away.
Wow.
And then she took all the pots and all the bulbs and brought them back to North Carolina and built a garden in memory of her.
Oh, man.
So I call that blooming with love.
Yeah, that's a good story.
But that's the kind of stuff we can do. I find that when we're on our caregiving journeys, we're just so worried about pooping and peeping and medicine and everything else that we don't spend that time. And it's so, so very important that we do that, for not just for our loved one, but for ourselves too. You know, nobody wants to be the person that's sitting in the chair, nobody's talking to them.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, and your neighbors want to help you, and your people in your church want to help you, let them do that. Because people are asking because they want to. So what is your tip for a caregiver?
I think my tips are twofold.
Okay.
First thing I would tell my caregivers, and I'm often talking to family members that are coming in and day out, I'll sit back and I'll pull them to the side and say, how are you doing?
Because nobody asks them.
Yes, no one asks them, and they all give me that same look. Well, I'm doing fine. I say, okay, let me ask you this again. How are you doing? And then they'll look at me, and they'll give me that look like, you want me to be honest? I said, this is honesty time. Now, you're talking to me. You know, I'm just a little tired.
Yeah.
I just need some rest. You know, I want to be there for them, but I'm just exhausted. And I said, I want to give you permission to take a day off. You don't have to be here every day.
Right.
That's what we have staff for. That's what I'm here for. You can take a day off. And they all look at me with that same wide-eyed look. I can't. They'll forget me. I said, no, they won't forget you in one day.
No.
They won't forget you in one day. As much as you've done for them, they won't forgive you. They won't forget you in one day. So take a day.
Because your loved one wants you to take care of yourself,
yes,
too. They appreciate
yes.
you, everything you
yes.
do for them.
Yes. So that's the first thing I did. And I tell them, I said, okay, in your day off, don't sit back and worry. Take a spa day. Go to the movie. Find one of your girlfriends. Go somewhere.
Right.
I mean, just don't stay home and then worry about coming here.
Right.
That's not a day off. That's not a
right.
day off. But go out, you know, go with one of your friends. And then the second thing I often ask them, I say, what are you doing? And I like the part that you were saying about being physical. What are you doing, you know, to relieve the stress that you're feeling every day? And they all look at me like, you know, I sit home and look at television. I said, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
You know, because that's not going to do anything for you. I said, why don't you take a walk? Every day, when you come here.
Barefoot.
Barefoot. But take a walk. Put your tennis shoes on and go walk.
Well, especially here, there's no excuse.
No, thank you. We're here in Florida.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. And then I often ask them time, because some of the people aren't religious. They're not going to worship, or they don't see a meaning of any kind of faith. I said, why don't you take a walk in a park? Stare at the trees. Look at the lake. Listen, we got plenty of ocean front. Sit back and look at the ocean. And try to quiet your mind. And if they won't do that, I say, okay. Then get a coloring book and sit back and color. Because I teach meditation. And when people have a hard time centering their thoughts, I give them adult coloring books with crayons and pencils. And you can tell that their minds are finally being quieted. Because they're able just to concentrate on that one little thing.
Stay in the line.
Stay in it. They can stay in the line, out of the line. As long as they're focusing. So my approach is always like that.
Wonderful. We'll talk about in a couple minutes. Right now we're going to hear from our wonderful partners. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize each individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, the goal is to make your loved one as comfortable and as independent and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming, with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 themed houses. It warms my heart when I visit there and see how joyful the residents are. Please call or stop by to talk to a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole is at 727-517-7800, or you can reach them in Largo at 727-559-8411. You'll be glad you did. VoxLife realizes that people of all ages and walks of life are focused on wellness and optimal performance. Wellness consumers are looking for products that will enhance the quality of life and are asking for natural, safe solutions for more energy, pain relief, and enhanced mobility. Well, VoxLife is the answer. VoxLife has harnessed the power of neuroscience and neuroactivation and spent 6 years developing HPT. HPT instantly improves the user's strength, energy, stability, balance, and range of motion while providing natural pain relief. And this is done so easily with their socks and insoles at a very affordable price. I know when I go to the gym, I can see the difference immediately when I have my VoxLife socks on. And they also have helped many of my caregivers and their families. For more information, go to voxlife.com/caregivers. They've helped me and they can help you too. That's voxlife.com/caregivers.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you know what it means when you hear that horn. You need to get your paper and pen because Lynn's got a lot of good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I do.
You do.
Okay. On February 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Five Towns Magnolia Auditorium in St. Petersburg is the Smart Living Health Fair. There will be health screenings, demonstrations, samples, door prizes, and lots of fun. And then the Dementia Spotlight Foundation is presenting a day of free dementia education on March 8th and a day of music and fundraising on March 9th to raise money for free respite care for our families in the Tampa Bay area. March 8th will be at the Heritage Hall of Lake Madeline Church in Tampa from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And March 9th, the Tampa Bay Alzheimer's Music Fest will be at Skipper's Smokehouse. And Lenny's going to be the MC
of the
band.
Yes, I'll be the MC with all the bands.
Yeah,
really cool. And I'll be there the day before. Also on the 8th, I'll be giving a class. I don't know exactly when yet, but come out, have some fun. We have everything's been covered, all the expenses. Every penny is going to free respite care.
That's wonderful.
Huge.
Okay. And then if you have an incontinence issue and cannot afford the supplies you need, you can call the helpline for Diapers for Dignity at 727-217-8111 or 1-800-963-5337.
Also, if you need anything else, thank you, Lynn. If you need anything else, you need a walker.
Mm-hmm.
You need a commode. You can contact Saving Our Seniors. They're on my website, Linda's Caregiver Connections. Kelly has a big warehouse now full with a whole bunch of stuff. And also, if you would like to help Kelly, Kelly is a young woman. She's a physical therapist. She does all this extra work on her own, delivering and picking up and the warehouse. She needs help. So if you would like to help volunteer, just shoot me an email or a message, and I'll hook you up with her. Linda and I have done some stuff, and we're going to do some more because if you have all that stuff and you can't get it out anywhere, it doesn't really help.
It doesn't.
So, Tammy, what's your last words for us today?
Well, I think it's important, of course, to take care of ourselves, and especially for caregivers. So think of those tips. Make sure that you're focusing on yourself as well as your loved one that you're caring for. And you can reach me if you have any questions.
Perfect.
At Tammy at Hope, the number 4, healthnow.com, or visit my website, hope, the number 4, healthnow.com. Have a great day, and remember, there's help and hope.
Yes, there is. And, well, this information will be on my website, too. What are your last words for you? You can keep them on.
I can keep them on. I guess my last word is, first of all, know that when you meet a chaplain, and if you want to meet me, and come on out to Palm Garden. I'm definitely going to pull. I'm a plug Palm Garden. Come out to Palm Garden. My centers will be our Sun City and Pinellas and Largo and Clearwater. So if you ever want to meet me and you want to come out and talk to a chaplain at a facility, just give us a call because I'm always there. And last words, I think I just want to encourage everyone, try to find peace and try to find some form of spirituality that will quiet your mind, because in the long run, that's going to give you some good mileage, and it's going to give you what you need so you can help other people.
Yeah. And I'm very grateful to Palm Garden for helping caregivers. We did, about 2 months ago, we did a caregiver spa day there.
Mm.
And the caregivers came in and they had a manicure, a facial, a massage, and chocolate-covered strawberries, and all this good stuff. And you know, caregivers always tell you about good stuff to do. And I can remember I had to, like, pull the caregivers by the hair of their head to get them to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then every single one was there. They're like, oh, Linda, thank you. This is so wonderful. So take care of yourself. And when I have events out there, I'll let you guys know about it. Pay attention. I want to read this thing. It's called An Alzheimer's Request. Do not ask me to remember. Don't try to make me understand. Let me rest and know you're with me. Kiss my cheek and hold my hand. I'm confused beyond your concept. I am sad and sick and lost. All I know is that I need you to be with me at all cost. Do not lose your patience with me. Do not scold or curse or cry. I can't help the way I'm acting. I can't be different, though I try. Just remember that I need you. The best of me is gone. Please don't fail to stand beside me. Love me till my life is gone.
Oh.
So that's very important, and it's very important to let your loved one know how you feel about them and just hold their hand and just be with them and just spend some time with them, because that they can't help it. And you know what? We're all living a whole lot longer today. Could be any one of us. How can our listeners get in touch with you? You didn't give us your information.
I was kind of sit back and think. Well, you could just go online and go to palmgarden.com, and you can pick out any of the centers. Please come and visit. I'm at Pinellas, Largo, and I'm at
Sun City.
So you can just call there and say, hey, I want to speak to Chaplain Bobby. That's what they know me as, Chaplain Bobby, or Chaplain B, and you can just come in and come out and see me.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you for
Thank you so much for being on the show
It was
today.
My pleasure to be
Thank
here.
Thank you, Tammy. I really
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
it.
Ladies.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I know it's not always the easiest thing we can do, but I'm very pleased when the show is over and Lynn and I get emails and somebody says, I saved $300 on my prescription, or I took a little respite care, or I went and helped my neighbor, or I found out something I didn't know before. That's a really big deal. So I really care about you, caregivers, and I want you to know that. So thanks so much for joining us today. Please go to our Facebook page, Connecting Caregivers Radio, and like it. We look forward to seeing you next week. I think we have a big celebrity on this show.
And we'll Me.
Also have, oh, yeah, you. And we'll also have, hopefully, Kathy winning the caregiver. It's McMahon's wife, the football player.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So tune in next week. And remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Winter, spring.
summer or fall. Now all you got to do is call.